You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors. This is a Thursday edition. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever it is. Make sure to follow me at WC Goldberg. Today's episode, here's what we're going to do. We are going to talk about the ideal scenario for the Warriors with the 7th and the 14th pick. What is the ideal combination of players that the Warriors can get at 7 and 14? What we will not do is discuss trades, because that opens up a whole other can of worms, and it's a thing that we could talk about at some other point during this very, very long offseason. We have a month between now and the NBA draft, after all. But what can the Warriors do if they hold on to both the number 7 and number 14 pick in this NBA draft? What would be the ideal combination of players? Now, I don't know that the Warriors are thinking about it this way. I don't think that they are looking at, okay, do we need to address a certain position at 7 and then another position at 14? But it is worth exploring, right? Because whoever they do pick at 7 could inform the type of player that they take at 14. So there's been a lot of talk about Jonathan Kuminga and whether or not he can fall to number 7. Scotty Barnes, Jonathan Kuminga. Should the Warriors draft one of them if they fall to number 7? Now, I'm just going to tell you something right now. None of those guys are falling to number 7. I don't know what this story comes from. This idea that Kuminga and Barnes, I mean, Kuminga is a guy who is considered a top 5 overall prospect. Barnes is one of the highest risers in this draft. If this is really a 6-person draft, then none of them are going to fall to number 7 where the Warriors are. Kuminga is raw, and he's falling down draft boards, but I don't think he's going to fall all the way to 7. There is a substantial drop-off between 6 and 7. And if there is a team at 5 or 6 or whoever that doesn't want Kuminga, that doesn't want Scotty Barnes, then they just can trade out of those picks, and some other team is going to move up for one of those guys. So then you're left with the rest of the draft. Guys like Davion Mitchell, Franz Wagner, James Bouknight, all those guys. That's where the Warriors are going to be picking from. So what I did was I went to some 4 popular mock drafts, saw who they took at 7, who they took at 14, some of the players that they passed up. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through each of those mock drafts, ESPN, The Athletic, Sports Illustrated, and The Ringer. We're going to go through each of those 4 mock drafts and just discuss who they picked for the Warriors and why, if we like those picks, and some of the players that they passed up that might have been a better selection in that mock draft for the Warriors. So let's start with ESPN, who at number 7 take Davion Mitchell out of Baylor. Now, this is the same player that I took in my mock draft for the Locked On Podcast Network, a mock draft that I did for the San Jose Mercury News. Davion Mitchell makes a lot of sense for the Warriors. I know he's 22 years old. I understand that he's a junior. I understand that he's undersized, that he came in with a smaller than expected wingspan during the draft combine. I don't care about any of that stuff. That dude can play. He picks up his game in the biggest moments. He can shoot from 3-point range. I know it was just a junior year, but I talked to Chad Ford a couple weeks ago, and some other people that have evaluated Davion Mitchell feel comfortable that his 3-point shot is something that is something he can maintain and not necessarily an anomaly, right? So if that 3-point shot is legit, he can handle the ball, he can create penetration, he's maybe one of the best perimeter defenders in this draft, especially at his size and at his position. So not only can he run your offense when Steph Curry and Draymond Green are on the bench, but he could play alongside those guys too. I think rather easily, not just because of what he does on offense, but because of what he does on defense. ESPN, this is what they write about Davion Mitchell, the pick there at number 7. The Warriors will likely feel some pressure created by Steph Curry's age and soon to expire contract to return to championship contention as quickly as possible. With that in mind, there will surely be factions of their decision-making circle, particularly in the coaching staff, attracted to Mitchell, arguably the best two-way player in the college game, who is fresh off a national championship run at Baylor. Mitchell's strong playmaking, shot-making instincts, and defensive versatility should allow him to operate in a variety of lineup configurations alongside Golden State's existing core. That's it, right there. And we know that the Warriors like to draft players who come from winning programs. That's Davion Mitchell. So he does all those things. At number 14 now, ESPN, this one's a little bit of a head-scratcher. They take Kai Jones, the power forward slash center out of Texas, young at 20 years old, a lot of length, very athletic, but very raw. He's shown flashes of being a versatile defender, shown flashes of being able to space the floor, shown flashes of being a rim-running, a vertical threat. He's a good rebounder. He can finish around the rim, all those things. But the Warriors just took James Wiseman. And I'm not sure that they're ready to give up on Wiseman. If they don't trade Wiseman, even if they do trade Wiseman, I don't think that they would take another rookie here at that pick, at that position. Again, if Kai Jones is high up, is the highest player on their board at 14, maybe they would consider it. But ESPN also has them passing up on Moses Moody and Chris Duarte. And I just don't see them doing that, in addition to several other players. I think Duarte is a safe pick that they can go with there, even though they could be taking him rather high. And Moody, I mean, they have Moody falling all the way to what? 18 to the Thunder? No. 19 years old, one of the youngest players, not even 19 yet. He's one of the youngest players in this draft. 3-and-D prototype type of wing. He compares himself to Mikal Bridges. If that's the case, then you've got a home run. But he could also end up just being Josh Jackson or something like that, and it doesn't work out. We see these 3-and-D guys work. Sometimes they flame out. Who knows? But if he's on the board at 14, it's between him and Kai Jones. I think that they would go Moody, but unless they love Kai Jones. Let's move on to the Athletic. They have the Warriors taking James Bouknight and out of Real Madrid, Usman Garuba, the power forward slash center. I love the idea of Bouknight. Not as much as Davion Mitchell. I think that there is a idea out there that because Bouknight is younger and I guess more athletic, even though I wouldn't say he's extremely that much more athletic than Davion Mitchell, there's an idea that he has a higher ceiling. That's what we're going to talk about next. But first, I want to get to our Michelob Ultra moment of the week. We've all been there. The feeling after a great win or after you nailed the presentation at work, or maybe you've just gotten back from your first run in months and you're exhausted, sweaty, and proud. It's these little moments that define our days. And what better way to celebrate them than with Michelob Ultra? Because they know that enjoying these moments is the key to happiness. And for my moment of the week, I want to talk, it's not necessarily the joyful moment of the week, but it's a moment that we need to shed a little bit more light on. And it's this controversy surrounding Portland's decision to hire Chauncey Billups and the media coverage around that and the controversy around that stemming from Billups' sexual assault allegations against him in the late 90s. So I think I go back to Tuesday's Locked On NBA show that I do with David Ramil, and I think we made a mistake on that show, because what we did is we used that controversy to springboard into a conversation about, well, what kind of fake trades can we come up with for Damian Lillard? Can we get him to the Warriors? Can we get him to Philadelphia, to New Orleans, to New York? And look, it's worth exploring that, and it's a fun conversation to have, but we shouldn't just gloss over this Chauncey Billups stuff. It's an issue. And I don't know what the solution is regarding Chauncey Billups. They settled that out of court. We never saw the evidence against Billups. We don't know what happened. And so I don't want to talk about what I think happened or allege anything or anything like that. That's not my business. It's not anything that anybody can answer. Again, we don't have the evidence. But I think that the coverage around it has been poor, and I'm at fault partly for that too. Because I just used it as a springboard to get into the trade machine. That's not right. We should talk about that, because victims of sexual assault, people who are offended by this and the lack of coverage, should be angry and upset. And so when the Portland Trail Blazers came out and did their introductory press conference for Chauncey Billups, they knew what was going to happen. They knew the sort of questions that would be lobbed at Chauncey Billups, the new coach, and Neil Olshey, the general manager. And instead of being prepared for those questions with a response or anything like that, as is their job, they just shut down the questions. They said, hey, we've already dealt with that. We talked about it. It's not a big deal. Olshey, when asked, hey, what was the interview process like? He just said, trust me, it was good. Just trust me. It was thorough. Trust me. It doesn't work. It's 2021. Just trust me doesn't work anymore. And so my Michelob Ultra moment of the week is basically, and look, I don't even feel good branding it, but I didn't know how else to get it into the show. So that's what I'm doing. It's awkward and this is clunky, but it is what it is. I think that there are people on Twitter, people in the media who saw this and stood up for the conversation that we need to have, because so too often we get caught up in the trades and the player movement and whether or not this is going to make the team better, and not in what's right and what's wrong, not talking about the important issues, not talking about the things that really matter, not considering how certain things make people feel. I thought that was glossed over by a lot of people, including myself, when all of this first came about because of that Chris Haynes report saying that Damian Lillard was trying to distance himself from this and it could force him out of Portland, and that became the headline. But the why should have been explored more earlier, and I think we're getting to a point now where it's being explored. And I think that's good. It's better late than never. Go check out tons of other exciting Ultra moments with the hashtag Ultra Moment. Michelob Ultra, 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Today on the Road to the Finals, our NBA playoffs coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. Moving on to the Athletics mock draft. They take James Bouknight out of UConn, Usman Garuba, the Real Madrid, at 7 and 14. The Garuba pick is really interesting to me. I'd like to start there because not only did the Athletic take him at 14, but the Ringer did too. And I got to be honest, look, I'm not an NBA draft expert. This is really the time of the year where I start to dive into that because before this, I'm dealing with the Warriors and all the things that go along with that. But what I'm reading up on him, the little bit of film that I watch, I mean, this guy is raw. He's interesting. There's a ton of upside there. I get it. And I get that he's a good fit, hypothetically, theoretically, for the Warriors. And if they take somebody like Davion Mitchell or Bouknight at 7, maybe then they say, you know what, let's take a swing here at 14. Let's get somebody raw. Let's get somebody with a ton of upside who doesn't need to play right away. Maybe we put him in the G League for a little bit even, and things like that. So here's what The Athletic writes about Garuba. Defense, defense, defense. Garuba is already one of the best defenders in Europe as a teenager. He's 18 years old and profiles as a potential all-defense team guy in the NBA by the time he's 25. He could defend on the interior with terrific fundamentals for verticality and weak side shot blocking. His ability to slide his feet and drop his hips laterally is ridiculous, and his instincts as a pick-and-roll defender are terrific. The problems come on offense. He's still not a particularly effective player on that end, but there have been signs of progress. He has been making more threes recently, but it's going to take some time. He can also pass the ball out of the short roll a bit, and he's not totally afraid to put the ball on the deck. You look over at the Ringer, and it's a lot of the same kind of things that we're talking about. Here's what Kevin O'Connor wrote over there. Draymond Green took James Wiseman under his wing last season, a positive showing of leadership for the franchise, but Garuba might be a better protege for Green because he's also a small ball center with a relentless attitude. Though playing them together wouldn't be feasible for the Warriors due to their lack of agility, he'd be the perfect backup and someday a potential replacement. So I understand the logic there. I'm down. If they want to take a swing at 14, he seems as good of a player that they could take a swing on. The Athletic passed, in their mock draft, passed on Corey Kispert, Jalen Johnson, and Chris Duarte. So Duarte is falling down drafts. I know I took him at 14 in my mock draft. I'm probably not going to have that in my next mock draft. I actually think for the last Locked On Podcast Network mock, I took Keon Johnson out of Tennessee at 14, only because he was there, not because I think he's a good fit, but that was a value play. I don't think he's going to be there at 14 in real life, but who knows? If Kispert or specifically if Kispert is on the board at 14, I think the Warriors would have to take him because you know he can walk in today and start making threes because he's played at a high level at Gonzaga and all those things because there's length there that you like. There's a little bit of playmaking, even though you probably like a little bit more. He can compete on defense, even though I think there's a ceiling to his upside on that end. He doesn't have the upside that Garuba does, but he can at least play for you right away and start spacing the floor for you right away in a thing, in a way that's meaningful, in a way that Bob Myers said that they want to address, right? They want to add shooting. And Kispert is probably, you can bind the draft and free agency together. Kispert's one of the best shooters out of in both of those avenues. So if you have an opportunity to take one of the best shooters available this offseason, I think you have to do it, regardless of upside or the limits on an upside. But I like the thought process. But as far as Bouknight goes, here's what The Athletic writes about that fit in Golden State. Bouknight is a terrific athlete with great scoring acumen at 6'5" with long arms. He has good size for an off-guard position. His game is built off of the playground. He has tremendous shake and has the potential to be a genuine three-level scorer in the NBA. I think that's going to be helpful. A player like that for the Warriors would be very helpful. Yeah, The Athletic has Mitchell falling all the way to 13. Okay, so there's sort of that idea that I was talking about with Bouknight at 20 having more upside than Mitchell at 22. He was a riser in this NBA draft combine last week in Chicago. So maybe there's something to that. I don't know that he's risen to the point of not taking Mitchell at 7. I think Mitchell right now is the better player. And I'm also dubious that his upside isn't the same as Bouknight's. I think he's got a great body. He's a terrific athlete. Maybe not as good as Bouknight is, but I just think he has better feel for the game. That said, if the Warriors love Bouknight, he's 6'5". He's 20 years old. Awesome athlete. Like they said, potential to score at all three levels. Because of his length, because of his playmaking, because of his scoring ability, you could play him next to Steph and Klay Thompson. He's not where Davion Mitchell is defensively, and that would be my concern. I think Mitchell can close games for you right now if you're the Warriors, but I don't think Bouknight's there yet. But if you think he can carry you through the middle parts of the game and you feel good about a closing lineup of Steph and Klay, Wiggins, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Draymond, and you're not, and maybe you get somebody with this mid-level exception or whatever, then yeah, go for it, right? I think Bouknight is in play. Let's move on to Sports Illustrated's mock draft. Who they take Davion Mitchell at number 7. Then they take Jalen Johnson, the Duke forward, at number 14. We'll talk about that here in a moment. But first, let's talk about Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all the parts you need for your car at a traditional store. So do it easily online at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all of the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Then write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. It's rockauto.com. Moving on to Sports Illustrated's mock draft. They take Davion Mitchell at number 7. They take Jalen Johnson, the Duke forward, at number 14. I actually don't mind this at all. The only gripe I might have is Jalen Johnson over Moses Moody. I think Moody with his 3-and-D potential would be an ideal fit. He's young, he's long, he makes threes at a high rate. Jalen Johnson, not a great shooter from the outside. Limited college experience the same way that James Wiseman had, but a terrific athlete. And if he's there at 14, that's absolutely a value play. Most of these mock drafts don't have him falling that far. So it's kind of like what I did in the Locked On mock draft. Do I think Keon Johnson is a great fit for the Warriors? No, but if he's there at 14, it's just a value play. Jalen Johnson's upside widely considered higher than Moses Moody. So if you wanted to take Davion Mitchell at 7, who everybody considers the safe pick, even though I think he's also the best player on the board, at 7. Then taking a swing on a guy like Jalen Johnson at 14, to me, makes a little bit of sense. Here's what Sports Illustrated writes about Jalen Johnson. Golden State wound up with 2 lottery selections, giving them great flexibility to shape their roster moving forward, whether via draft or trade. Johnson is one of the more intriguing upside swings currently projected outside the top 10. So Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated is saying that Jalen Johnson could fall outside the top 10. Based on these mock drafts, I tend to agree. Not sure he falls all the way to 14. Okay, continuing. His early departure from Duke fed into some current concerns about his maturity and competitive mettle, which predated college. As a result, he has one of the wider ranges of any first-round prospect, with some scouts intrigued enough to still take him in the lottery, and others concerned to the point where they could see him falling into the late teens or early 20s. I'd be willing to bet that the workout circuit will help him as teams see him up close and get a feel for his sheer size and range of skills. If Johnson can prove his jumper and stay focused, he has a pretty good chance to outperform his draft slot in the long run. This is going to come down to the interview, right? For Jalen Johnson, not just for the Warriors, but for every team. But we know that Bob Myers really values these in-person interviews a lot. I wrote about last year about how that dinner that they had with James Wiseman basically sold them on Wiseman. They put a lot of stock into that. And if Jalen Johnson can pass that test, then maybe he would be on the board. And maybe they would love his upside enough to take him over somebody a little bit safer like Moses Moody or Chris Duarte. Okay, moving on to our final mock. The Ringer has the Warriors taking Davion Mitchell again at number 7. And then Usman Garuba at number 14, like we talked about earlier. They have them passing on Moses Moody, James Bouknight, and Chris Duarte. Now, I'm pretty sure that the Ringer's mock draft came out before Bouknight's impressive showing at the Combine. They haven't updated it since then. I have a feeling that if they were to update that mock draft, Bouknight would go higher, that the Warriors wouldn't pass on him at 14, but that he might not even be on the board by 14, because you look at these other mocks, and ESPN has Bouknight going number 8 to Orlando. Sports Illustrated has him going to 8 to Orlando. And The Athletic has him, again, 7 to Golden State. So if he was on the board at 14, I think they would go with him over Garuba, but who knows? Comes down to what they think the upside is, what they think their team needs are, who's the highest on their board at that time, and all those things. Would the Warriors take Mitchell and Bouknight at 14? I have no reason to think that they wouldn't. Perimeter players, guards, playmakers, you can't have enough of them, right? Shooters, you can't have enough of them. I think with who the Warriors have, having taken Wiseman at number 2 last year, having Draymond Green entrenched there at power forward, having Kevon Looney coming back after picking up his player option, having Juan Toscano-Anderson being able to play both those positions, I don't think that there's a huge need for them to go and draft a front court player in this draft. I don't expect them to take a player who can solely play in the front court the way that Garuba can. Maybe you take a longer player like Jalen Johnson, who's a little bit more versatile, a guy like Moses Moody, who's a little bit more of a forward, more of a shooting guard, small forward type, but still provides some length there on the perimeter. You can go and get a Corey Kispert if he's available. Again, longer, but probably limited to playing the 2 or the 3. But 3 of these 4 mock drafts and mine all have the Warriors taking Davion Mitchell. I still think that he's probably on the board at 7. I don't expect Jonathan Kuminga or Scottie Barnes to be there at 7, even though I will say this. If they are, you just take them. And I don't think Kuminga is a good fit for the Warriors, but you're able to trade out of that or whatever, move him at some other point. If they're on the board, I'm assuming Mitchell isn't, or somebody or something weird happens. Maybe Bouknight rises. Maybe there's another riser. But if Kuminga or Barnes are on the board, you take them and you just figure it out later, because you take the talent, you take the upside. I just don't see it happening. All right, that'll do it for us today. I'll be going live on Green Room this afternoon, noon Pacific, with Bram Hilsman of the Warriors Huddle podcast to talk about the draft and if the Warriors should get in on Damian Lillard or Ben Simmons in trade talks. So make sure to download the Green Room app and then come on through. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate, review, say nice things about the show. Locked On Warriors on YouTube. Subscribe to our channel there. Thanks to everybody who already has. Of course, you can reach me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Enjoy your day. Thanks for listening. hopefully we'll talk again tomorrow.